You can see at the top of your sheet, we're going to talk about adoption this morning. Adoption. I love the topic of adoption. It's something that is close to my heart. God began burdening me with adoption, me and Beth, about probably 3 years ago. And it's something we are burdened to pursue as a family. And really the major reason that we are burdened to pursue it as a family is because of what we're going to talk about today. Because of the adoption that we have in Jesus Christ. So each week we've taken a big word of the gospel, and these are very big words. They're packed words. They're words that sometimes confuse us. Sometimes they mishmash together. Sometimes we get them mixed up. But they all describe who God is and what he's done in saving us. They all describe who we are and how we need saving, and then how God reaches down to save his people. So today we come to this awesome topic. And at the top of your sheet, got a little paragraph there. It says this: the airport atrium was packed with people. Many had signs. Others were holding balloons. It was a party. And actually, this is a picture of that party right there. This is a welcoming home party for a little boy by the name of James Ivan. He's from Russia. And his family saw his picture on a website, and they fell in love with him. And they decided to spend more than the amount it would cost to buy a brand new car to go over there and make him their own. Cool thing about James Ivan and the cool thing about the situation is James Ivan is what they call a special needs adoption from Russia. James Ivan has Down syndrome. So, pretty incredible, beautiful picture of a family that just seeing a picture wells up in their heart with love for someone. Then sacrifices great, great cost to go over to another country into very, very difficult conditions. Their whole family got sick because of the trip, just so that they could make this boy a member of their family. Beautiful. So we all gathered at the airport, and you could see the excitement. I mean, people are all looking. They're all looking at one about probably 10-foot square area where they're going to be walking through. They're going to walk through a revolving door. We just want to see this boy that we've prayed in, we've given to get here. We've done fundraisers. We've done a ton of stuff to get this boy here. So we're so pumped. We're all anxious. You got signs up there. You can see, welcome home, James Ivan. You got balloons. People are all excited. Even Karis got into it. So I got a little picture of Karis. Like, Karis is pretty pumped there. Okay. Karis just gets excited at any party, but she kind of thought James Ivan was instantly going to be her best friend ever. Why is that? It's the same reason that the first time I actually saw like an adoption, I actually saw it, I felt like, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I remember I was at a friend's house, and it was a party. It's called a gotcha day party. A gotcha day party is where you celebrate the day that an adopted child becomes part of someone else's family. Really cool. So they had their, I think it was 1 or 2 year, remember? It was 1 year. 1 year gotcha party. It was for a boy named Matt Gillen. I can remember the dad just standing and saying, we are so thankful to have Matt Gillen as our son. I remember looking and thinking, I've never thought about this before. It's an incredible picture. In that moment, here's what you see. All of a sudden you see, and it says it on your sheet, in a few short seconds you can get a glimpse of costly, deep, sacrificial love. A life-altering new relationship. Everything will be different in that relationship between that child and that now new parent. An unbelievable joy is all wrapped up in a new family. Here's what the gospel tells us. Throughout the Bible, we see this same picture. It says this: as sinners, we are without a family. We are without a family. We are not children of God. We are actually children of the evil one, the Bible tells us. We are lost in far-off hostility from our Creator. But the gospel defined tells us that God offers adoption. He offers sonship to his people. So here's what adoption is. Adoption is God's work in making sinners members of his. If you got 1 John chapter 3 open in your Bibles, you're going to see a word at the beginning of that verse that is a word that is really powerful. It's the word see. Your Bible might say behold, your translation. The word is a grab your attention and turn your head to look at something kind of a word. It's the point and hey, look at this kind of an exclamation. And the verse says this. It says, see, look, turn your attention. Get those eyes off of everything else and look at this right here. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And it doesn't just finish there. It says, and so we are. If you were to look at the Greek here, the Greek would put exclamation points in, okay? The words, the way they're used, it's emphasis and the repeated, and so we are. It's the behold, see, look at this love. It's incredible. It's amazing that the Father would make us children of God. Hey, and so we are. So we're going to look at that love. We're going to look at that love together. We're going to look at the fact that we need to be adopted. We're going to look at the fact that God offers adoption. And then we're going to look at what that adoption inheritance is. What does it mean to be called a child of God? So I'd say to you, I'd say, Gospel Grace Church, see, behold, look at what kind of love. Look at what amazing love. And actually, the New International Version said it this way, the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. Let's pray. Father, use your word. Help us to understand adoption and the inheritance we have in Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. The first blank on your sheet is talking about man's need of adoption. And your blank is this. As sinners, we are not children of the Heavenly Father. God is not our Father in the sense that we have a good relationship with him. Actually, he is our enemy. We are, your blank is, children of the evil one. We're children of the evil one. You and I were not born beautiful and lovely and perfect and wanted and desired and on the same team as and buddy-buddy with the Creator. We were all born as sinners from sinful parents. Now, our parents may have been wonderful, they may have been very kind, but they were sinners, and they produced a sinner in us. We are all children of the evil one. We're family. Think about this. Family of the enemy. We are born with the fangs of the serpent in our mouth. Look at what the Bible says. I mean, listen to these verses. The picture is not pretty. Whom we all once lived. Who are we? We're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We are sons of disobedience, right? There were some disciples that were named sons of thunder because of their personality. Guess what? You and I all are. We're just all sons of disobedience, okay? We're all throwing trucks in the nursery, okay? We're all hitting people, taking their cookies. We're all sons of disobedience. You are, and this is powerful, of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father, the devil's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Look at this picture. You need to be adopted. You are not in the family of God. In fact, the picture is that we are as evil as the evil one. We choose our own way as much as we are born into sin. And I said it just a second ago. We are born with fangs. The reason that Galatians 5 says we bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed one of another, is because we are children of the one who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? Children of the evil one. It's not pretty. You see, we tend to think about adoption in terms of those really neat pictures where a cute, cuddly, tiny little baby is in one of those bunting baskets, like all wrapped up, right? And somebody rings the doorbell, and you open the door, and there's this just like, right? And you're like, oh, I will adopt them, right? We tend to think about adoption that way because those are the romantic, wonderful stories. But actually, the Bible tells us that that's not us. We are ugly. We are rebellious. We have done wrong. In fact, it's going to get worse. So the next blank is this. As sinners, we are rebels found guilty of treason against the king. You see, the Bible describes sin as treason against the king creator. I'm going to show you a picture up here. These two men became infamous recently. These are two men that were believed to participate in the Boston bombings, right? There was a huge manhunt in Boston for these two men to find them. U.S. citizens did a horrible, deplorable thing, right? Now, we look at those pictures, and instantly, in my mind, when I was actually looking up these pictures, you know, I Googled their names, and I Googled Boston bombers and all those things. I just remember in my heart welling up inside just this anger towards them, right? I'm an American. These kind of things anger me. But you know, the picture of the cute little baby sitting on the doorstep and crying and wanting you to pick it up and love it is not the picture. This is us. This is the person that God adopted. You see, we've all been guilty of treason. We are the ones who, against the kingdom of God, we have chosen to go our own way. We've chosen to form a rebellion. We've chosen to do our own thing. We've chosen to spit in the face of the emperor, King Jesus. We are convicted, treasonous rebels. Here's how the Bible describes it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, that we all have done something. We've all, although we knew God, we did not glorify Him as God. Neither were we thankful. But we did do this. We exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man. We took the perfect, glorious Creator and we chose instead to rebel and make His creation more important than He was. We're traitors. Traitors. The Bible even goes on, it says, because of that, we have no rights and no privileges with this God. No rights, no privileges. We are void of any opportunity to have any standing with this God. We have no hope for a future with Him. We are lost. You know, we think about the picture of an orphanage, and the picture of the orphanage is great, but honestly, we aren't little babies that are cute and desirable. We are grown adults that have debts against us. We are grown adults that are actually, the Bible says it this way, we are held captive by the law. Held captive. Here's the verse in Galatians. It says that we were held captive. Before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming of faith is revealed. That is us. No rights, no privileges, in debt. So now we start to see this picture of adoption. We need adopted. And so there's some things that need to be taken care of in order to be adopted, right? There's some things, like legal demands. Legal demands, right? The legal demands of God's justice. We're the traitors. We must be punished. We are unrighteous. We cannot be in God's presence. Legal demands must be met. Awesome thing about adoption is that those legal demands are met. They are. You see, we already talked about it. What is the word that reminds us that the legal demands, God's righteous demands, have been met in the gospel? That God says of sinners that they are righteous. They are no longer guilty of sin. What is that big word in the gospel? Justification. You're right. It's justification. We've been justified. The legal demands are taking place. But guess what? It could have been that we were just freed from guilt. It could have been that and that alone. But you know what else God does? He could have just freed us from our debt and made us righteous in His sight. But He doesn't just do that. He takes the treasonous Boston bombers, us, you and me, and He doesn't just clear them. He doesn't just take their fine. Remember, that's what we talked about with justification. He took their penalty. He doesn't just take their penalty. He actually says, now you live in the White House. What? I mean, look at this picture, okay? You've got the two Boston bombers behind me. And actually, if we were to really go so far as to do it the way that God did it, it would be like this, that President Obama offered up Mylia to die in the place of these two, and He brought them into the White House and took them to Martha's Vineyard with Him on the next vacation. That's scandalous. That's scandalous. Unbelievable, y'all. That is adoption. And we've already talked about how that actually works, because it's not just that these treasonous traitors are running around the White House, okay? It's not just that at all. It's actually that God changes their heart, makes them his own, and gives them all the rights and privileges of a son of his. We need adoption, and the great thing is God gives it. So look at these verses up on the screen. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? So that he might redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We are adopted. God offers it to us. So let's break that down, shall we? Let's break it down. God's offer in adoption. How do we receive it? We receive it by faith. We receive it by faith. So your blank there is, God grants us adoption through faith. It comes through faith. It's connected to conversion, okay? So conversion happens, and we accept by faith, and we are adopted. So look what this says. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. How? Through faith. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called. So it's this faith aspect. We believe that God offers us. The next part is this, your next blank. God welcomes us into a familial relationship as children. Remember those convicted of treason, those rebels, those objects of wrath, he offers relationship to. Right? So this is our identity. We're in the family of God. We can now be welcomed into his presence. Convicted, treasonous, rebels, in debt to the law, dead. He adopts. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us. I mean, this picture is amazing, okay? Once we were his enemies, and now we are walking with him hand in hand, familial, joyful relationship. Those amazing privileges that come with that. There's a great quote that reminds us of how all these fit together. It's from Wayne Grudem. It says this: regeneration has to do with our spiritual life within. So that's the first little bit. We're made new. Justification, then, has to do with our standing before God's law. We stand righteous. But adoption has to do with our relationship with God as our Father. And in adoption, we are given many of the greatest blessings that we will know for all eternity. We are adopted and given these awesome privileges, familial relationship. The next blank on your sheet is this. God grants us confident and ready access to him. God grants us confident and ready access to him. We have that familial relationship, but the thing with it is, it comes with a confident ability to cling to him. When we need help, we can cry out. You've seen in Scripture, and we already put one of the verses up there, that when Jesus prayed, he prayed to the Father, and he used a name that hadn't been used for the Father ever. What was it? It was Abba, right? Abba. It was the daddy cry, right? Sometimes we tend to think of it like it's a baby who's just kind of cooing and gurgling and da-da-da-da trying to talk. But actually, when Jesus prays this to his Father, do you remember what's happening? He's in the garden facing the worst trial of his life. He's facing the most difficult thing he will ever face. And what does he say? He cries out and says, "Daddy, save me." The Abba cry, the daddy cry, is the cry of confident, "Help me." It's the, "I can jump and know that my Father will catch me." It's the, "I know he's there, you've got to help me" cry. The confident cry for help. Where do we get this from Scripture? We see it in Scripture when we look and we see this Abba. What happens is this, that we, as the Spirit comes into us through salvation, the Spirit is telling us certain things. He's telling us that God sent the Spirit out of his sons into our hearts, and that Spirit in us tells us, you can cry out to God. You were once an enemy, but hey, the Spirit's in you telling you, you can cry out to God for help. Abba, Daddy, save me, help me. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, whereby we cry, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. It's the cry for help, and we're confident that he will help. For those that are adopted, God bestows us with full rights and privileges as sons. Now, this is interesting, okay? Real quick thing here. In the Bible, you hear several times the inheritance comes to sons. That does not mean that the gospel writers and the epistles were not written excluding women from the inheritances. Actually, the translators, it's good that they did this, because the author chose to say son. He chose to say that the sons receive the inheritance. Do you know why that is? Because in those days, guess who got the inheritance? Sons. So actually, this isn't excluding women at all. Actually, the gospel is welcoming women and men together. Actually, the gospel is saying, women, you have as much of an inheritance as the men do. You see, in Christ, you are sons. You are no longer without an inheritance. You have hope for an inheritance just like a son. It's a beautiful picture. You have the rights and privileges of a son. We are not the baby being adopted. We are the full-grown person who has now all the full rights and privileges of a son. And if we do have those rights, then we have all of those rights as sons. Here's what the Bible says. It tells us in Romans chapter 8, if we are heirs, then we are fellow heirs with Christ. We are the adopted son who has the full inheritance. And the last thing is this. God becomes our loving and patient Father. The Father that we long for, the Father that we wish we had, the Father that will never fail us, the Father that says he is patient, long-suffering. He's gentle and caring. He's loving and kind. He is our patient, loving Father. So when we know this, your last two blanks are this. And we know this, we have identity. We have identity. We're welcomed in the family. We are his. We are his children. But then we're not just his children. We are his sons. We have all the rights and privileges of the firstborn son being adopted in the family. Then there's love. There's love. We know that we are loved. Actually, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that the ones that are sons, he loves enough to discipline, so that they might share in his holiness. He doesn't leave them to live life on their own. He actually pursues them to the point and lovingly disciplines them to point them towards holiness. Great picture. Then we live on mission. The Bible tells us to be imitators of God as beloved children. We do God's mission in this world. And then lastly, we have an inheritance. So we realize, we live in, we believe in this inheritance. We trust that it's possible. We preach the gospel to ourselves over and over again. I am adopted. No, I'm no longer a slave. I'm a child of the King. I no longer live without the inheritance. I have the inheritance. I trust in it. I live in it. I live as a child of the King. That when I'm in deepest need, I cry, Daddy, and I fall into his arms and he holds me. The Abba cry is available to us. Live in that inheritance. The inheritance that we will experience to some degree today, but we will fully experience in glory forever. We'll be co-regents, co-heirs, co-inheritors with Christ. That is adoption.